Pull out a map and look at the latitude of where we are here in Florida and trace that across to the Middle East, you'll discover that we're not too terribly different from Galilee. Do that sometime. It's very interesting. As I was working on this message and thinking about Florida temperatures and what we endure and thinking about what's going on in these verses that I'm going to read in a moment, and I thought, I wonder what that was like, temperature-wise, climate-wise. And then I even went on the internet and did the weather check for Galilee, for that area. Discovered that they were very close to where we are. They're about as hot as it's been here. Now, their humidity is a little lower, but it still can be a humid place. So I thought that was neat to try to think about what it was like as we read in Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. And you follow along. This morning we're going to read this from the King James, at least initially, and then I might break off into another passage or version from there. But Mark 1, 16 through 18 says that as he, speaking of Jesus, walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother, and they were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said to them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Heavenly Father, again, may we allow your Holy Spirit total freedom to reach into our hearts, to teach us. Lord, to challenge us in ways that we have not yet been challenged, that we might honor you, that we might glorify the name of Jesus Christ by our witness, by our example, and by our lives, and that this body in Christ might be built up. And we bless you, Father, in that strong name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Just days or weeks, we don't have the exact timetable, but not too long before what we've just read, Jesus was initiated into his public ministry as he was baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan. About 30 years old. And when he came out of that river, the Bible says that the Spirit led him immediately into the wilderness, and he spent about 40 days out there where he was tempted, where he wrestled with some things, some great challenges, and also where God spoke to him in a powerful way regarding his purpose, his ministry. And then from there, he began to journey from place to place and began to teach about the kingdom of God. And we know that a couple of followers of John the Baptist, one was Andrew, and the other one that we have referenced in John in the early chapters there was probably John himself. They were fishermen. And they met Jesus. They heard Jesus speak. They heard John the Baptist's testimony about this Christ, this one who would come after John, whose sandals he was not even worthy to reach down and untie. And Andrew and this other disciple were so enthralled and they were captivated by the words of Jesus that they followed him and even went home with Jesus and spoke with him some more about all of these things. And then we come up to what we have in Mark chapter 1, where Andrew, for sure, we know that he went back and he told his brother Peter, and he said, Peter, we've found the Messiah. We have found the Christ, and his name is Jesus, and he's the carpenter's son. But Peter, you need to meet this guy, and they did. So there was an encounter there. But when we come to Mark chapter 1, to these verses, powerful verses. As Jesus was walking along that Sea of Galilee, a sunny day, probably a hot day, probably a good Florida kind of day, and he's walking along that sea, and I kind of figure that he had pulled his sandals off because he's down in some of that sand, and of course there's some rocks scattered about, but I imagine that he pulled those sandals off and is walking along the shore and maybe stepping into that water every now and then and just enjoying it. And he's going along the Sea of Galilee, and he's experiencing those smells and the sounds and the sights that you would see in a fishing village and all of the activity. And this place is alive with activity, because you have just scores and scores and scores and hundreds of people even who are out there fishing, throwing their nets in the water, pulling in their catch. Others of them up on shore, and they're mending nets, they're working on their boats, they're getting ready. There are others who are perhaps selling some of the fish and some of the seafood that they've gotten out of there. So market thing going on, and all of that activity, and Jesus walking along. And he looks out there in the water, and he sees a couple of guys, and they're fishing. They're throwing those nets into the sea. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon, Peter, and he saw his brother Andrew, these two guys that he had met a little earlier. And they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishers, says the King James. You guys catch anything? How's your day been? Casting their net into the water, for they were fishers. Powerful words here. When the Greek uses the word or the words here about casting those nets into the water, you know, back in Virginia we have Smith Mountain Lake, which is just a real magnet for bass fishermen. They come from all over the country. They have bass tournaments there. Some of you may have been there before. And just about everybody in all of our churches back there, all the guys are fishermen, bass fishermen. They love to get out on that lake in their boats and do their thing and do the tournaments. And I've been out bass fishing a time or two. Now, I didn't do the tournament thing. I did what most of the ones up there would do. We go out and we just have a relaxing day where we're throwing that line in and just kicking back, enjoying the day, the sun, the fresh air. For me, not many bass, but at least I cranked that thing along. And that's the image that sometimes we have when we read in the scripture that these guys were fishermen and they were out there on the lake and they were having an enjoyable, relaxing day of fishing. Listen, that is so wrong. These guys were casting, they were throwing, they were working up a sweat. This was their livelihood. And if you can picture these men who've already been about it probably for some hours, and they're in that boat, and when it talks about casting, it means throwing that heavy net out with force all around that boat and then dragging it in and pulling your fish in. This was hard work. These guys were at labor. They were sweating. They were tired. Perhaps they were frustrated. We know that on occasion they threw the nets in and didn't get anything. But they were working hard. And Jesus saw them out there, and they were casting their nets into the lake because they were fishermen. That was their livelihood. That's how they made their living. That's how they supported their families. This is what they knew. This is all they knew. They grew up in a family of fishermen, and Peter and Andrew, they learned from their uncles and from their dad, and perhaps they even inherited a business because it was passed on from father to son, from grandfather to his son, and on and on. And Jesus walking along that lake and enjoying the morning and hearing the sounds of his creation and seeing all of the glory there and enjoying even the heat of the day and the humidity. And And he looks out and he saw these two, Andrew and Simon, his brother, casting their nets into the water and laboring and struggling and making their living because they were fishers. Do you know that Simon's name, and I'm sure many of you do, Hebrew would be Shimon. We've known of Shimons in the news in recent years in Israel. That word comes from another word that means to hear. Have you ever heard of the Shema? That is the one found in Deuteronomy where the scripture says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, He is one." And it goes on to say that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And you will teach these things to your children. And you will put these things onto your doorposts. And you will remember these things. Shema, to hear, to listen attentively, to learn by listening. And I don't think it was a coincidence here that Simon, Shimon, was fishing that day. And Jesus called out to them as they cast those nets into the water because they were fishers. They were salts. Literally, that's what that word means. They were salts. They were sailors. Means that they were men of the sea. They knew the sea inside and out. They knew how to sail on that sea. They knew how to read the sea. They knew how to find the fish. They knew how to deal with the torments and the storms that would come. They knew all of that because they were fishers. They were salts. They were men of the sea. And Jesus saw those guys out there casting their nets on this side of the boat, on that side of the boat, and struggling to bring in that livelihood and to make that money and to support their families and do all that they were doing. And he saw Shimon and he saw Andrew hard at work because they were fishers. And Jesus called out to them. The King James says, he said, "Come after me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men." The New International says, "To come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." They already knew he was the Messiah. They already knew that there was something different about him. And now he speaks to them personally while they're working. And he says, "Hey guys, I want you to come out of that boat. I want you to come up here. I want you to come after me. Follow me. And I will make you to become not fishers of fish, not fishermen out here on the sea, not old salts out here making your livelihood doing this thing. But I will make you to become fishers of men." These are powerful words. These are the first disciples that Jesus calls. And a little while later, we know that he walked on down and he saw James and his brother John, the sons of Zebedee. And they were doing the same thing. They were hard at work fishing. And they were working with their dad and the hired servants that were there. And Jesus even said to them, "Come, follow me." Calling these first disciples. Follow me. Come, follow me. The call is to get behind me and follow me. Come after me. Follow me. Our bulletin this morning on the front, we have those footprints in the sand by the sea. And you've heard that poem before about footprints in the sand. But when you follow Jesus Christ, it means that you follow after Jesus Christ. You follow him. You get in step behind him. He leads, you follow. There's no misunderstanding. He didn't say, "Andrew and Shimon, I want you to come here and walk along beside me." He didn't say that. He didn't say, "Hey guys, you are great fishers. Maybe I can learn how to be a fisher of men from you. Come here and go before me and I'll follow you." He didn't say that. Jesus called out to them and he said, "Come. Come and follow along behind after me and I will make you to become fishers of men. Now, what went on in these guys' minds? What were they thinking? What happened with James and John, especially when you know that this is their livelihood, what they left when they dropped those nets? When they said, Dad, we've got to follow this man because he's the Christ. He's the Messiah, and we believe that. And he has called us to follow him. And Dad, we've got to do that, so we're going to go do that thing. And James and John left their father Zebedee and the hired servants, those men that worked for them, left them all in the boat and followed after Jesus Christ. They were saying goodbye to those things that they knew. Think of the faith involved there. And it's the same way with us today. Whatever you're doing, whatever your occupation, whatever you busied yourself about all of your life, those things that occupy your time, those things that you are day in and day out, this is who I am and what I'm about. Listen, when Jesus calls out and says, come, follow me, it means that you even say, Lord, I will even forsake this thing that is so important to me to follow after you. That's hard. That's why the scriptures talk about counting the cost of discipleship. That's why it says counting the cost before you start out. The Bible talks about many others who turned away and stopped following Jesus. They went another way because they said, I can't do this. I can't leave my occupation. I can't leave my dad or my mom. I can't leave this thing that I've depended on. I can't leave this money. Now, Andrew and Simon may not have been as wealthy as James and John. There's no mention of Andrew and Simon having hired help, no mention of their dad being out there with them. But James and John certainly had some money in that family because they had men working for them. Because we know that this was a business passed from family to family, from generation to generation. So there was some significant money matters here. But when Jesus Christ said to them, come and follow after me, they obeyed. In fact, the scripture says, and immediately or straightway, they left their nets, they left their boats, they left their families, they left their business, they left all that was familiar, all that they knew, and immediately, straightway, they followed after Jesus Christ. That call is no different on lives today. No different at all. God calls us. He looks out and he's looking for those who would be Shimon's, those who would be listening with an ear ready to obey, attentive to God's call. There's nothing greater than God. God is in control. Your life is going to be over in the blink of an eye, and you will be dust. One thing remains, and that is your soul. And what you do with Jesus Christ in this life determines where you will pass eternity forever. You see, we need to get those priorities where they belong. And when God says, when Jesus calls out and he says, come follow me, come and get in step behind me, and I'll lead you and I'll make you to become fishers of men, we need to hear what he's saying. And I like how it says, it doesn't say, and you will become, or and you will learn how to be, or you will go to school and this and that and the other. It says, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And Jesus was telling them, Andrew, Simon, James, John, this is all brand new for you. You don't have a clue what I'm talking about. Fishers of men, who's ever heard of such a thing? But listen, if you will trust me, I will do everything necessary. I will take care of teaching you. I will make you to become those fishers of men that I'm calling you to be. Jesus used parables and illustrations right from life all the time. In this case, he's talking to fishermen, and what better way to communicate to them than to say, "You come follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men." They understood the fisher part. Fishers of men, what an interesting concept. When he spoke to a woman by a well who was trying to pull water out of that well and ask her for a drink, and then began to talk to her about, "I can give you water and you'll never thirst again." You see, he connected with what she was doing. That's how Jesus communicated. And he communicates with us today. And whatever your vocation, whatever you're about, it's the same application. He says, "Listen, you come and you follow me. I don't care what your job is. I don't care where you've been. I don't care the difficulties you've faced, the struggles. I don't care the sin that has been there in the past. I don't care about any of that stuff. What I'm saying right now is you come and you follow me. And then I will make you to become what I desire you to be." It's too easy to ignore that. It's too easy to see this as, "That's a pretty story. I like that story in Mark. I might read that again sometime. That gives me a warm, fuzzy feeling." It's too easy to say that and miss what God is calling us to. Come, follow me. And I, Jesus Christ, I, the Messiah, I, the Anointed One, I, the Son of God, I will make you to become fishers of men. God looks for those of us that are shimons, that are hearers, that will simply say, "God, whatever you say and however you direct, I will obey." Don't dwell there a whole lot because you'll get scared. Just hear what God says. If you dwell there too long and you start thinking, "Well, he may call me to a place that I've never been. He may call me to leave a job that has really provided for me for a very, very long time in a fine way. He may call me to leave my family, my mother, my father. He may call me to a place where I have to take my young children, and in the world's eyes, that could be dangerous, this place that he calls us to." So don't dwell too long there trying to think how God's going to do all of this. Just hear God say, "Come, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And I would encourage you to respond just like these men did, at once, straightway, immediately, right now. They left their nets. They left their livelihoods. They left those things that they knew of. They left their families. They left that business. They left that money. They left all of those things that they knew. And they followed after Jesus. "Follow me. Follow me," says Jesus, and you will touch lives. "Follow me and you'll see your land healed. Follow me. And your old men will dream dreams, and your young people will have visions. Follow me, and you'll see signs and wonders in all of the earth. And follow me, and you'll declare the great things that only God can do. Follow after me, and you will be revived. Follow me, and you'll be on mission with Jehovah Abhir, the Mighty One, to the very ends of the earth. follow me, and I will make you to become whatever I want you to become, to do those things that I desire for you to do, that you might be a light to the world and salt wherever you go. Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, as a congregation, we stand bare before you right now because we have heard your holy word. And we've heard you call out not just to Andrew and Simon and James and John, but you have called to us. And this is a very personal matter, Father in heaven. And what we do with that is all about obedience, all about our willingness to do what you call us to do. Father, again, may your Holy Spirit have complete freedom in this room to reach into hearts. God in heaven, I have no doubt that there are men and women, young people here today that you desire to call into some fantastic service. That may be on a mission field. Lord, that may be standing behind a pulpit. That may be using a business as a testimony to the great things of God and allowing you to reach into pocketbooks and reach into every area of that business, whatever it is. Lord, may we take that step and just obey, just like these men did. May ours be a straight way, right away, immediately, at once, now, as we listen with ears that are ready to hear and ears that are ready to obey. Father, we honor you. Thank you for hearing us now. In the strong name of Jesus, we bless you. Amen.